Steve from Q1 Reviews. Good morning, Steve. How are you?
G'day, Jill. I'm going really well, thanks.
Probably wasn't that long that we had you on, but, you know, the time's flying. Was probably a year ago. But,
yeah, I reckon it was, but things move pretty quick, don't they?
They do. But look, I love your updates. And so thanks for getting in touch. Sounds like you're doing some pretty fun, you know, fun stuff in the small producers and side project space. So talk us through what's going on.
Oh, look, I'm very lucky to see a whole range of producers come across my tasting bench. And there's a lot of small producers which continue to come. And as we're talking the other day, there's just a significant number of little guys out there who probably don't get the voice or the platform that they deserve. But a lot of these side projects are really sweeping up the storm, I suppose, and they're really interesting wines. A lot of these winemakers of these side projects, they're assistant winemakers at some of the bigger wineries. They're even cellar hands. But further to that, you've also got some pretty rock star winemakers in their own right with their own side labels, and I'm pretty sure some people aren't even aware of that.
Well, I think it's quite exciting that, as you say, they're, you know, cellar hands or assistant winemakers, instead of just, you know, climbing up the rungs, actually doing their own thing. I think that's, that's quite entrepreneurial, and that's great. So does this seem to be an element of like a generalization of why people are doing this? Like, are people explaining to you why they're deciding to do this as a side project as opposed to, you know, just, you know, sticking with their jobs and going through the runs, I guess?
Well, I think a lot of it's just the fact that wine's such a fantastic industry, the wine industry itself, and there's this forever desire for exploration. And a lot of these assistant winemakers or cellar hands in those cases want to go and try their own thing. If you're working for a large producer, there's a particular style that is to be made, and whereas you can go and do your own little plaything if you can get a sample of fruit. Some of those fruit samples actually come from their employers. Some of the fruit samples are sourced from elsewhere. I think of someone like Harrison Medley as an example. I received some of his gunpowder wines. So he's based in the Hunter Valley. And he makes for a producer in the Hunter Valley, but he saw some wines from Mudgee, and it was beautiful. He's got a Hunter Valley Chardonnay, but he's also got a Mudgee Shiraz and a Shiraz Nouveau, and three terrific expressions of those wines, and wines you probably wouldn't normally make under the normal label.
No.
I look at someone like Emily Glover. She's also from the Hunter Valley. She was just awarded during the week the Young Achiever Award at the Hunter Valley Legends.
Oh, well, of course, that's always towards the end of May, isn't it? Right, yes.
Yeah, and she's a bit of a weapon, and she's doing some great things for Mike DeJulius, where she's a winemaker.
Mike's awesome.
Yeah, isn't he? But she produced a Semillon last year for the first time from some a Brokenwood vineyard she had access to, and she's going to continue to explore her own rock. Who are at wines on the side, and it's a great thing that you've got employers like Mike who allow their staff to do that.
And I know they encourage and enable it. Yeah,
precisely, because they're trying different techniques and different things with their own parcels of fruit, which may be then incorporated into the winery's wines at some stage. But on the flip side too, Jill, I'm also aware of there's some winemakers out there who've had a desire to have a side project, but been wrapped over the knuckles and said, no way, you need to focus on what we're doing here. So it's an interesting...
Where's the community spirit there, Steve?
Well, that's it. And we're all about promoting the greater product, aren't we?
But we are.
I suppose, coming back to what you're saying earlier, you look at people like Dom Valentine from Valentine Wines. So Dom was working at Oak Ridge for a number of years, assistant winemaker. And he went out on his own, and he's now incredibly successful. You think of people like Sam Conyu, a very successful winemaker. She was at Tower Estate in the Hunter Valley for a few years, and that's where she started Stargazer. And she always had the intention to launch Stargazer on her own, and you look how that's turned out.
Yeah.
And I remember meeting Troy Jones in the Hunter Valley. So Troy Jones was on the bar there at Giant Steps. And I, when was it? I think I met TJ the first time in 2013, and we were just chewing the fat in the Salador there, and he's telling me about these wines he's making on the side. And you look at Peyton and Jones now, they're extraordinary. Wicked wines, very keen to push boundaries, cool labelling. So you look right around the country, there's a lot of labels to tap into.
I think it's very encouraging to see this happening. And I guess there are a lot of things at play. You know, one is, of course, having employers who are encouraging and enabling, supportive. And I think generally our industry is one of the most supportive industries you could possibly get. So, you know, of course, you're going to have the odd person who's maybe not so much, but on the whole that we are. The other thing, I guess, is, you know, obviously, you know, we both speak to a lot of winemakers. And I would say what the main, you know, general thing that comes out, general consensus, is that they love to be able to tell their story and show their personality through their wine. And you can't always do that when you're making the wine for someone else. So that's a natural step to take as a true winemaker. I guess the other thing is, and I really don't love bringing up climate change or that particular term, but let's be honest, it is there, is that, you know, we are facing a very interesting time where, and globally, but Australia very much, of that, you know, some varietals just won't be able to produce as much of, or will be changing significantly over the next, say, you know, decade or even less. And we need to look at other things. So it only makes sense that as an industry, I guess the more, you know, influential leaders would be saying, go out on your own, see what you can do, get some new varietals that you think that would work well, that we have similar terroir with elsewhere globally. And let's just give it all a go. I think it's going to be really important to encourage that side of thing.
Absolutely. And if they get their hands on fruit parcels, why not?
Absolutely.
And it's for the greater good. And, you're developing someone's skill set, but also they're empowering the industry in many regards.
Yeah, exactly. So you have mentioned quite a few Hunter Valley winemakers there, a couple of Yarra. Where are you spending most of your time? Is it New South Wales?
Oh, wherever the wind blows, Jill.
Yeah, nice.
Wherever the wind blows. So, yeah, I've almost recently been down the Hunter. Last year I was in the Barossa. I was in Orange and Mudgee September and October last year. So, yeah, just I'll go wherever the wind blows, Jill. But and that's the great thing. We've got so many diverse districts around the country to go on. Explore and see what's on the ground. And when I went to Mudgee and Orange last year, that was the first time I was there, and it blew me away what I got to see.
So that was the first time last year that you went to that region. They're fabulous, aren't they?
Oh, look, and I've seen a lot of wines from Mudgee and Orange, but to actually get on the ground and press some flesh, it was pretty cool, making some great connections. I look at... When I was in Orange, I met Matt Eads, and he's got a tiny label, Amour Wines, and they're fabulous. Chardonnay, Pinot, Shiraz. I'm actually popping some of his reviews up in the next couple of days, and you know he's just very meticulous about how he goes about his work. And without having been in the region, I wouldn't have met Matt. So it was great to be there.
Yeah, nice. Well, so you did mention before, of course, the Hunter Valley Legends Awards have just been on. Give us the highlights.
Oh, I wasn't there this year. I was there last year, and it was a great time down there. But off the top of my head, Stu Horden from Brokenwood, he was Winemaker of the Year. Celador was Margan. Emily Glover, Rockstar Young Achiever Award. Who else was there? I think Peter Drayton was, could be wrong. He might have been one of the legends.
That's someone I haven't had on the show. Got to get Peter Drayton on. Right, sorry, keep going.
Could have been. It's just off the top of my head, just looking through.
No, that's good. That's good. That's got everyone. We can access it online. But it's I do forget that does come along in May. And you're right, it is a sensational event to actually attend if you can. I haven't been for years.
Yeah, no, it's a great celebration of the region, and to having had the privilege to have been at the night prior, you just feel the great camaraderie in the room, and everyone's just so supportive of one another. It's terrific. But yeah, and there's always so much going around the country, Jill. It's exciting times.
So just the last couple of minutes, what's on for you for the next, you know, few months to 12 months?
Oh, there's a bit of embargo action happening there. I can't say it.
Fair enough. Watch
this space. But, something exciting happening next week or so. And then towards the end of the year, I've got another exciting thing happening. So I can't say too much for now, but maybe might do a bit more of a reveal at some stage.
Okay, fair enough. Now, just before we do totally round off, my fifth and final interview for the day is now a very lovely friend, Peter Stewart, from Lightning Tree Wines in the South Burnett region. And I noticed that you actually had done a review of his Tempranillo. So I just wanted to ask you about, you know, Tempranillo and Fiano, a lot of those Italian Mediterranean varietals. They do so well in not just Queensland, but South Burnett specifically. From your perspective, why is Tempranillo growing so well there?
It's really interesting, isn't it? But also on the ground belt as well. Tempranillo and some of those Mediterranean varieties are really smashing it in those climates. But it's also the soil structure as well. And I just think with Tempranillo, you get those warm ripening days and those very cool nights, and it's not until you've actually been there you experience how cold it is in the morning, particularly during summertime.
Yes, which surprises a lot of people.
It does, and look, cold for us Queenslanders is anything below 20 degrees, but it actually it gets below 10.
It's a bit sad, isn't it?
I've been struggling the last week, Jill. It's getting it's been what 14 and 12 in the morning. It's icy out there. The struggle is real. I don't think the Southerners appreciate how much we struggle up here.
Do you realise how many Melbourneites, Victorians are listening to this right now?
I do, and they're all shaking their head going, hard enough. But anyway, you get that. But South Burnett's doing some great things out there, and Peter's a great voice for the district. He's done some fantastic things. He's got a nice little set of wines there under his wing, which is great.
Yes.
He's a most knowledgeable person too, and he's done a lot for the region, particularly with his experience and his from a viticultural perspective. So, he's a great man.
Yes, yeah, he certainly volunteers a lot of his time to the industry, and I'm very much looking forward to having him back on. We actually went to South Burnett region, actually it was May 2 years ago, and ran the show completely from there, and he hosted the whole weekend. It was amazing, so I'm looking forward to having a chat. But Steve, thank you so very much for taking the time to join us. I love the updates, keep them coming, and we will speak again very soon.
Thanks so much, Jill. All the best.
Thanks, mate. Bye.
Cheers, bye.